New Year's just around the corner, and Friday is the first day of, I know that you could correct me on this, but for most of us, it's a new decade even, right? I mean, you know, the tens, whatever we're going to call those. But we get into this new, a whole new start is coming around the corner. And the question is, what are we going to do with a new beginning? What do we do with a new start? And how often do our resolutions, I love that little girl at the end where it goes from daily to monthly. I mean, isn't that somewhere around March, if you're lucky, that's where it goes, you know? I'm going to do this every day, okay, every week, okay, every month, you know? We do the best that we can to kind of change those things in us, but it's not always the easiest thing in the world to be about that resolution. Some of us get really excited about New Year's Day. We get really excited about the new beginnings and the new starts, and I imagine that for some of you, when we stood up and asked you, what are you happy to see go, or what are you looking forward to, that was a pretty easy question, because you've thought it through. The new year is coming, and you've kind of prepared, and you've kind of planned, and maybe you've gone through that thing where you want to make some resolutions about the year ahead, and what's going to be different, what we're saying goodbye to, and what we're saying hello to. But others of us, we don't get as excited. Others of us want to know, really, what's the difference between December 31st and January 1st? U2, one of my favorite bands, has a song called New Year's Day, and the chorus says, nothing changes on New Year's Day. And I just heard that the other day, and I thought, yeah, isn't that the case as well? In some ways, everything is different, and in some ways, well, nothing changes, except we get aggravated because we can't write the right date on our checks anymore. What really happens between the 31st and the 1st? A scripture lesson for those of you that are kind of ho-hum about it is Ecclesiastes chapter 1. And I read for you verses 2 through 11 from the Message. And this will show up on the screen, or you can take a pew Bible out that are in front of you in the chair in front of you. And it says this. Don't get too depressed listening to the scripture, but listen to this. He says, there's nothing to anything. It's all smoke. What's there to show for a lifetime of work? A lifetime of working your fingers to the bone. One generation goes its way and the next one arrives, but nothing changes. It's business as usual for old planet Earth. The sun comes up and the sun goes down. Then it does it again and again, the same old round. The wind blows north, the wind blows south, around and around and around it blows, blowing this way then that, the whirling erratic wind. All the rivers flow into sea, but the sea never fills up. The rivers keep flowing to the same old place, and then they start all over and do it again. Everything's boring, utterly boring. No one can find any meaning in it. Boring to the eye, boring to the ear. What was will be again. What happened will happen again. There's nothing new on this earth. Year after year, it's the same old thing. Does someone call out, hey, this is new? Don't get excited. It's the same old story. Nobody remembers what happened yesterday, and the things that will happen tomorrow, nobody will remember them either. Real inspiring words, aren't they? And you know who wrote these words? King Solomon. He's the Message calls him, they translate the word of the author, he's the quester of Ecclesiastes. He identifies himself, why he goes anonymous, because then he identifies himself as David's son and king in Jerusalem. Yeah, there's one guy. That's Solomon. And what we know about Solomon is, A, he was filthy rich. I mean, this was a guy that had garages full of chariots, which, you know, for us would be the coolest car you can think of. And he had garages full of them. This was a guy with palaces all over the place. He summered here and wintered there, and this was a guy of great means. He also was a king. He was a man of great power. Probably one of the most powerful people in the world at his time. And yet we read the book of Ecclesiastes, and over again he says, life is smoke. It's nothing. It just kind of goes away. There's no meaning. He searches and searches for meaning, and he has so much trouble finding any meaning for his life. And I read those words, and I think, what in the world is this doing in the Bible? And then I think, well, I know, because I've been there. Have you been there? Have you been in that place where you're just kind of searching and searching for some sort of meaning in life? I think that's why I get excited about resolutions sometimes. Because you know what? It's like, all that time I wasted before, I'm going to make it meaningful now. You know, and then February rolls around and we're back to the same old, same old. But that sense of just finding meaning and purpose in our lives. Every year, the same old thing, Solomon says in the book of Ecclesiastes. Year after year, it's the same old thing. I want you to compare that scripture passage to another one. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 through 21. And this is the Apostle Paul writing this. And he says this: our firm decision is to work from this focus center. One man died for everyone. That puts everyone in the same boat. He included everyone in his death so that everyone could also be included in his life. A resurrection life. A far better life than people ever lived on their own. Because of this decision, we don't evaluate people by what they have or how they look. We looked at the Messiah that way once, and we got it all wrong, as you know. We certainly don't look at him that way anymore. Now we look inside, and what we see is that anyone united with the Messiah gets a fresh start, is created new. The old life is gone, a new life burgeons. Look at it. All this comes from the God who settled the relationship between us and him and then called us to settle our relationships with each other. God put the world square with himself through the Messiah, giving the world a fresh start by offering forgiveness of sins. God has given us the task of telling everyone what he's doing. We are Christ's representatives. God uses us to persuade men and women to drop their differences and enter into God's work of making things right between them. We're speaking for Christ himself now. Become friends with God. He's already a friend with you. How, you ask? In Christ. God put the wrong on him who never did anything wrong so we could be put right with God. I want Solomon to stop and I want Paul to keep talking. Keep telling me that life is good and new and fresh. And there are possibilities all around us. I want that. I want to know that a new life burgeons, that the old life is gone, that we all get a fresh start. I want to come to New Year's Day not believing like Solomon that everything's just going to pretty much be the same mess it was, and really believe that God's going to do a new thing in my life and in the lives of the people around me. For those of you that have heard this before, I apologize, but I want to tell you all that haven't heard it. I grew up in a wonderful place. I grew up on a one-block street in Beechwood, New Jersey. It was Cable Avenue. We were 229 Cable Avenue. Why you need to know that? You don't. But that's where, and at the end of this road, the last 100 feet of this one-block dead end was unpaved. It just went to dirt road in front of the last house on the street. That dirt part there was our stadium. Man, we played every sport we could on that little dirt area. And it was the perfect little area to play sports on because it ended at the railroad tracks. And before the railroad tracks, there was this little hill and these really tall pine trees at the top. Well, that was, you know, the big green monster at Fenway Park. You hit it over the trees, home run. We had a telephone pole on the right-hand side, and that was our foul pole. You know, playing kickball, it was inside the telephone pole, it was a fair ball, and we had to keep playing. And we had a boundary markers and where the last house was on the left. And it was obvious where the street ended and the house started, and we would, you know, play football and try and keep your toes in bounds while you tried to make a great catch for a touchdown. It was a great place to grow up, except for one thing. It had one grand flaw. The foul pole, the telephone pole, was on the right side of the street. And the last house was on the left, which meant across our stadium was a band of wires of electricity that went from the pole to our neighbor's house. Well, we had a house rule at the end of Cable Avenue, and it was simply this: if the ball hits the wires, it's a do-over. And so every day, about 10 times a day, you would hear these five boys out there playing something, and somebody would shout out, "Do-over, hit the wires!" And there was no penalty, You just did the play all over again. And there's times in my life, I want that again. I want a do-over. You know, did I just say that? Do-over. did I really not buy that thing when it was on sale and now the one I have is broke? Do-over. I knew we needed it. Did I really not pay that bill in a timely manner? Did I really not do those things that I was doing? Did I really do that thing that just embarrasses me and the people around me? Oh man, it would be great to just get back and be about 8 years old and shout out, do over, hit the wires, and let me just try it one more time to get it right. I'm not sure that's what Paul's talking about when he says we get a fresh start. I mean, obviously there's consequences to the things that we do, and so, you know, as much as I'd like to say, hey, do over, I don't owe that money anymore, that'd be awesome, but hey, it doesn't really work that way. So what's the difference between the old life and the new life that he talks about? Sure, he says, starts his passage with this. He says, our firm decision is to work from a focused center. And then he goes on and gives us the focus center. He says, one man died for everyone. That puts everyone in the same boat. That's not the center. Here's the center. He included everyone in his death so that everyone could also be included in his life, a resurrection life, a far better life than people ever lived on their own. And then he goes on to say what's really changed. Nothing around him's really changed. What's changed is what he sees. He says, we no longer see people just by their outward appearance. We no longer see people just by what they do or what they have. We look inside and we see the person inside. Because we're resurrected people, we look for the resurrected people around us. We don't look the same way anymore. And to me, that's the difference between Solomon's version of the new life and Paul's version of the new life. I mean, Solomon just sees same old, same old. And Paul says, I've got new eyes. I've got new eyes that see things differently than they used to. In a lot of ways, Solomon's right. Things aren't going to be any different on January 1st than they are on December 31st. You know, when you go back to work after the holidays, things are going to be pretty much the same as they were before. Stuff's still going to be on the desk that needs to get done. But we can have a new start when we begin to see the world with the resurrection eyes. To see things a little bit differently. To see the blessings of life around us. To see the God moments. To see not just the sameness, but the newness that every day brings to us. And so the choice is before every one of us. How are we going to go into the new year? Same old, same old. Are we going to allow ourselves to see with resurrection eyes and to go forth and be the people that God is calling us to be and recognize his activity in our lives? We can be Ecclesiastes people. We can be Paul people, resurrection people. Who will we be? Let's pray together. You know, God, sometimes you finish a sermon and I think, boy, that sounded really easy. And it certainly is not. Not as easy as it sounds to just get new eyes and to see things anew. Not easy to just kind of see life as opportunities for do-over and getting our chance to restart. But God, we trust in your promise because you've told us that you give us that opportunity. And so we pray that you will multiply our efforts with your Holy Spirit. That yeah, we can make those small changes, and we pray for your guidance and direction. And we pray that we will see those encouragements that'll just fuel us to keep going. God, give us new eyes. Not that we just see the outward appearance, So those are often so wrong. But that we might see in ourselves and in the people around us what you see. Your kids, whom you love so very desperately and so long to be in relationship with. God, may our relationship with you just continue to grow in the new year. And may we be used by you to share others this wonderful relationship that we have. Guide us and direct us, O God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.